So tonight is going to be the last night of this series that we call This Is Your Year, that we started a couple of weeks ago. Really talking with the idea about having a vision for your life moving forward and to be able to look at that from a godly perspective and planning and goals and those kinds of things moving forward. And I know that that's actually a good thing to talk about right now as we go into the summer, because you're going into the summer and it's kind of a different season of your life because you're done with school. How many of you are done with school? Sweet. How many of you have like another day or two? Who's done this week? Yeah? A whole another week. Oh my goodness. Yeah. My goodness. Yeah. So the first week, for those of you that weren't here, bring it back. For those of you that weren't here, the first week we talked about having a vision for your goals and charting out kind of the steps and how to accomplish them. And I hope that going into your summer, you've got some goals for the summer other than just sit around like a, you know, couch potato or whatever, or just a bump on a log all summer and just get really good at PS4. I hope that there's, you know, that Fortnite isn't your only goal for the summer. Last week we talked about being willing to invest everything that you have into your goals and to count the cost of those goals. So here's the deal. If you've got goals for the summer and you've got a vision and a mission that's driven by God, and you've got the mentality and the framework of the fact that if I'm going to do something that God's called me to do, that it's going to take me investing everything, that it's going to take me being willing to invest my whole life for him, and that my vision really is Jesus, then you're on the right track and you're moving forward. But as important as those things are, and they are extremely important, they are part of the equation that needs to be there. Another piece that's just as important as what we're going to talk about tonight, and that last concept that we're going to look at, is the fact that we are, just like the song said, not meant to do this on our own. And if you lack this particular piece of the puzzle, I promise you, you'll fail. If you try to do this on your own, I promise you, you'll fail, because the last piece of the puzzle is basically this. You need other people to go far in this life. You can't do it on your own. Now, if you do, you can actually go pretty fast, because sometimes working with other people can really feel like pulling teeth. Sometimes a teacher gives you a group assignment and you're like, this is the worst. And you get stuck with that one person that's super OCD, or you get stuck with the person that has to take control of everything, or maybe that's you and you get stuck with somebody that's just like, I'm gonna let you do it all. And you know what I'm talking about. We've all been kind of in those circumstances, and you get frustrated maybe, or maybe it's in sports, because like in sports, it might be the same thing. Maybe it's somebody that's like a complete ball hog, and then you maybe got the complete opposite extreme of, you got somebody that's on the team that's just like, I don't care if we win or lose, it's whatever. You know, and you're like, then why are we playing? You know? So working with people is tough, though. It's tough a lot of the time. And I don't know about you, but there are many times where I feel like I'm just going to do this myself, because by the time I teach somebody else how to do it, I could have had it done. By the time I show somebody else how to do it, they're not going to be able to do it as good as me. And so I'm just going to do it and I'm going to get it done. And that's a prideful perspective to take. It really is. And it's also not a biblical perspective to take. But sometimes that's how we act. Sometimes that's how we feel. But we need to be able to trust a team, to trust the people around us. Because alone, you can go fast. Yes, it's true. You can get done maybe a lot of the things that you need to get done quickly. Maybe you can get a little, you know, get done fast. But the point of this life is not to just speed through it and race through it. The point is actually to go far, not to just go fast. And if you notice in the beginning, in the very beginning, God, when God made Adam, God makes this really important observation at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis 2. He says, and then the Lord God said, it was not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. And so God, the creator of the universe, right? He looks at Adam and he's like, it's not good for him to be alone. Now, what God wasn't saying was marriage is mandatory for everybody. And God's not saying that. What God is saying, though, is that we were designed to be with each other. We weren't designed to be alone, to be in relationship with each other and to be with the right people. And we need other people. We need other people. If you want to accomplish great things, you're not going to be able to do it on your own. Life is so much more than just going as fast as possible. More of life is about how far you can go, or do you have a sustainable pace? How far can you go in this life? Because together, we go far. How successful would mission trips have been? For those of you that have been on some with us, how successful would they have been if it would have just been one of us, two of us? Not very. There's a lot of people trying to do life on their own. There's a lot of things in society and celebrities and politicians and all of that that are telling you that they're a self-made person, or that, you know, just trust you and you'll be fine, and you can get through this life on your own, that you're a self-made person. But there's no such thing as a self-made person. That's a lie. There's just no truth to that, because behind every dream that's accomplished, behind every great person that maybe you can think of that is an example of somebody who's done some amazing things in life, and you're looking at them and going, wow, that's awesome, I guarantee you that there was a team or at least a few people behind them that believed in them, that believed in their dream. Every championship is won by a team, not a superstar player. I realize LeBron is a majority of the reason for why they're in the championship this year. I get that. And if you take him off the team, there may be a 500 team. But LeBron couldn't have got them there if nobody else took the floor. There had to be other people on the team with him. And it's the same in life. He didn't score 150 points or 100 points in a game to win. He didn't score every single point. There had to be other people on the team. There had to be. And so to accomplish things on our own, it sounds great, but it's just not the truth, because dreams require teams. If you got a dream, if you've got something that you are passionate about, that you feel like God has laid on your heart, that's that vision that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and that you're willing to invest everything as God has asked us to do, and we talked about that, then you need to like get this idea in your head, especially if you're like me and you like to just do it on your own, because that's something that I have to fight for myself, just to be honest with you guys. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. Dreams require teams. Solomon, wisest man to ever live. So they say. Hard to argue. The entire book of Ecclesiastes is him conducting an experiment, more or less, to find what is most important in life. What is most important in this world, and him trying different things to figure this out. Because at the end, he's able to say, I've done this, I've done that, and all of that stuff is vanity. All of that stuff is folly. All of this stuff that we put all of our value in is false. But here's a particular passage in chapter 4 that is incredibly important. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. You know, I read this at every wedding that I do, this particular passage. And it's true. Two are better than one because they can help each other succeed, as it says right there. And we can read and we can focus on the success part. And that's great because we see they help each other succeed. But look at the next piece of that, right? If one person falls, how many of you have failed at something? Yep, right here. Big time. You need somebody to help pull you out of the pit when you fail. That's where teams, having people around you, two are better than one, that's where it's really helpful. That's where it's really helpful, right? Yeah. Newly married couple over there is saying preach. You might be trying to figure out how you can succeed on your own, and that's great. Go ahead and give that a shot. But it's not going to completely work on your own. You don't just need people to be successful. You need people to help pull you out when you fail. Because if you have nobody to fall back on, if you have nobody to lift you up when you feel like dirt, because you're gonna, and when you screw up and when you mess it up, if you've got nobody there, you are not enough to overcome the failures on your own. Yes, we have Jesus, absolutely. But we were meant to be in relationships with other people as well. And you need a team that's there to catch you when you fall. That's why it says right there, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. Teams are not successful. Hear this. teams are not successful because they always win. That's not always why teams are successful. They're successful because they have navigated through the failure together and they challenge each other to go far. You listen at the end of a championship run of some team, and what's one of the first things that they'll go to? They'll say, you know what? We ran into some tough stuff. The word they always like to say is adversity. We ran into a lot of adversity. I don't know why that's the word for sports, but it is. But they did. They ran into a lot of adversity. And when they run into adversity, they actually look back and say, that is what helped define us and help push us to go this far, is because as a team, we were able to get through that tough time together. Because we were built that way, guys. Now let's skip just one more verse. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Alone, you can go fast. You can win on your own. You can do it. But when you are on your own, failure can feel final when you're by yourself. Failure can feel final, and failure can actually help lead you to success. But you've got to have people on your side. And to have two people standing back to back, that's great. But it says three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Who can be the third piece to that triple braided cord? Absolutely, the Lord. You're darn right. Alone, you can go fast. Together, you can go far. You can overcome any obstacle, any loss. If you've got Christian brothers and sisters around you, and the Lord is at the center of that. That's really what the Christian life is all about. That's what following Jesus is really all about. So, here's the question. How do you find your community? Where do you go to find people? Where do you go to find the people to be on your team? Over the past couple of weeks, I've challenged you guys to consider making Jesus as your vision and part of your life and following him. And the last challenge, or I guess this part of this challenge, is I want you to consider where you find your community. A verse that I tell you guys to memorize all the time, I haven't actually said it in a while, Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. And if you don't have that verse memorized, let me just encourage you to do that, to memorize that verse, because that will help keep you out of so much crap for the rest of your life. I'm not even kidding. And it's part of this idea. So where do you find that community? I want you to consider an idea. I want you to consider an idea of trusting the church with your dreams, your hopes. Look around right now. Everybody, look around. Because you are surrounded by a community of believers. You are surrounded by a community that hopefully is centered on Jesus, loves each other. At least that's the idea. That's the idea of connecting to God, connecting to the truth, connecting to each other. I want you to look around at this community that's here and tell you that the church, each other, we can be that community. We can be that community for each other. We are not here to condemn each other, to make each other feel small. Does it happen? Yeah, sometimes it happens. We're people, we're sinful, we're in high school. Sometimes that stuff happens. It shouldn't happen nearly as much here. One of the reasons the church exists is to help lift up and encourage and push each other to go far in life. That's one of the reasons that the church is here. But going far in life might look different from what you think it looks like. It might not look exactly like what you think it does. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1 says, Since we're surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We are surrounded right now, you are surrounded by people who could achieve greatness. I don't believe there's any of you in here that are like, you know what? I just want to be like the biggest loser for the rest of my life. That sounds amazing. I just want to like live in my parents' basement and just be like a loser for the rest of my life. Not that that's the only thing that makes you a loser. So, you know, somebody that's that, I don't mean that wrong. But the thing is, these people that are around us, the church that is around us, we can pick each other up. We can, as the verse says here, right? We can be people that can push each other to be better. We can strip off every weight that slows us down. We want to see each other. You know what endurance means, right? To run the race with endurance. Endurance means that you can run a ways, that you can run, you know, for a long time before you really start getting tired. I cannot do that in real life. I don't run. Period. I guess I kind of do. But I don't just like go running. Is there anybody that just likes to run? You just like, I just went out and ran like 4 miles. There's something wrong with you. I don't get that. I don't understand that. Nolan is another one of those guys. He just likes to run. I don't understand that. I have no point in just going and running. Like if something's chasing me, I'm down because I'm trying to save myself. Or if there's a ball that I'm running after or a puck I'm skating after, that makes sense to me. But to run, just to run, I don't get it. But you know what? The Bible says that idea, that principle of having endurance in life, that is the kind of endurance we really need to have. That's the kind of endurance we really need to have so that we can stay focused on what we really need to stay focused on in this life. Because we can get distracted by so much stuff, by the sin, as it says, that slows us down. Strip off every weight that slows us down. The weights that slow us down are the sin in our life, are the things that hold us back from truly following Jesus and giving him everything. You want to go far in this life? You want to go far? You need to get this part right. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, it says in verse 2. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. You know, he's the only one. Jesus is the only one who can pull us out of our failures. He's the only one that really can. The Bible tells us that he endured the cross. He went through the cross. The endurance of the cross. For you and for me. You know, Jesus went through that because the cross was designed for you. It was designed for me. It wasn't designed for him. I don't know if you ever thought about that. He went through the shame. He went through all of the stuff that he went through. And it says the joy awaiting him right there. The joy that was set before him. Do you know what that joy was that was set before him that gave him the endurance to go through all of that? Look in the mirror because it's you and it's me. That's the joy that was set before him. Everything he went through, every ounce of pain, every hit, every strike on his back, every nail that went in him, he had you on his mind. I don't know if you've ever really thought about it like that, but I dare you to take that perspective, that mentality, and to sit. Here's one thing I will dare you to do on your own. Go watch The Passion of the Christ. And you watch that flogging scene into the crucifixion. And I want you to look at that, remembering that what's on his mind is you. And that he's doing that for you. And you tell me that doesn't change your perspective on Jesus. He saw the race that you would run in this life. And because of that, because of what you're passionate about, because of the race you want to run, look at me, guys. He said, you're worth it. She's worth it. He's worth it. You're worth it. You were worth it. You were worth every bit of it. Every drop of blood, every drop of sweat, every bruise, every pain that he went through so that you could have what he called in John 10:10 an abundant life, a full life. So that you didn't have to worry about going to the cross. He did it for you. And he did it for all of us. And so my connection point for the night, I've said it a few times, alone you go fast, but together you go far. Jesus is the vision that the church looks to, and you are the joy on Jesus' mind. The vision that we should look to as the church, and that's all of us. That's you and that's me. That's us here. It's not the building, it's us. That's the vision that we have, is reaching people for Jesus and sharing with people, sharing with those around us how amazing it is to have a relationship with Jesus. I hope that you look at it in that way. It's really easy to take it for granted. It's really easy for it to just kind of be, to just end up being cliche and just a thing. I want to beg you to not just let it be whatever. To really search your heart. Search your mind. About the fact that there are people around you that want to hold you up, that want to push you far. You can be that for somebody else, and they can be that for you. That's what this is about. So that we can go far in this life. So are you going to trust Jesus with your life? With whatever vision you have? With whatever that is that Jesus has put in your heart, in your mind? Are you going to trust him with it? Are you going to go all in following the Savior who gave his life so that you could live? He gave his life so that you could live and so that you could move forward. And will you actually take advantage of what you have right here, right now, this youth group? Every year at senior moments, we hear somebody or a few of them say, boy, I wish I would have taken more advantage of my youth group when I was here. I hear it every single year, and we're probably going to hear it again this year. Take advantage of what you have. Take advantage of this community that is Connect, that is based with Jesus as the vision, and you watch how much further you can go in life because of that. Are you going to trust the church to surround you and love on you and put your arms around you in your darkest failures? That's when I've seen you guys be the church the most. That's when I've seen this place be the church the most, is during some of those times. Because you guys know you don't have to walk in this door and feel like you got it all together. At least I hope you don't feel that way. I hope you know you can walk in exactly as you are, because Jesus loves you exactly as you are. Do we all have things we're struggling with? Yeah. Do we all have things that we could do better, we could change? Yeah. We all do. But Jesus loves us all just the same. He loves you even in spite of those things. He loves you even though you're working on those things. And this can start tonight, not tomorrow. This can start tonight. Together, we rise. Together, we go far. If you're going to try to do it alone, make it done quickly. But it's not going to accomplish what Jesus has put on your heart. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes if you could. So let me ask you this. Are you going to make this year your year? Is this year your year? And by your year, I mean your year with Jesus. Your year where you finally, because I'm sure some of you, if you're anything like I was, or like what I've heard in the past, you're going, man, this is the year I'm gonna actually get my relationship with Jesus right. This is the year I'm actually going to give everything to him. Let that season start right here, right now. Let this be the night that you look back on and say, that was when I actually decided to get serious and give everything over to Jesus, when I said, I'm all in. Let that be tonight. If you need prayer about that, if you need somebody to just sit down and talk with, we're here. If you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, I don't care how long you've been coming. Maybe you want to get that right. I'd love to talk to you as well. And so here's my challenge before I close in prayer. If you need prayer for something like that tonight, if you're saying, yeah, Lord, I'm all in. This is going to be my year. I'm going to make Jesus my vision. I'm going to be part of this community. Would you be willing to just slip your hand up real quick and put it back down, just real fast, up and down? I can pray for you. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're not 100% sure that you're going to be going to heaven if something were to happen to you tonight. If that's you, would you be willing to just look me right in the eye? You can barely move your head and do that, but me and you and God will see that. I'd love to talk with you tonight if that's you. We're going to be here for a while tonight. We're not going anywhere, so if If any of you need to talk, need to pray, we'd love to do that. Jesus, I love you, Lord. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you, Lord, that you created us to be in community with each other, that you created us to be in relationships with each other, that we're not meant to do this on our own. Lord, I don't think any of us really want to do it on our own. God, thank you for the people that you put in our life, that you put around us. Help us to make good decisions about the people that we do allow into our circle, if you will. Are they going to pull us up? Are they going to push us down? Are they going to pull us down, maybe? Father, I pray for those that are maybe recommitting their life to you tonight, God, that they're saying, I'm all in. I'm tired of waiting until maybe the next week or whatever. That they're going to get serious about their faith, that they're going to get serious about their relationship with you, and let you be their vision. And Lord, again, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, let them please have the courage to ask their friend or come and talk to me or one of the leaders that are here about that, Lord, to just maybe get that conversation going. Thank you for the great night that we've had. Thank you for the great season that we've had of Gladiator Games, Lord. I pray that you give us all a good rest of the night. Thank you for the food in Jesus' name. Amen.